Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
I want to talk to you today about succession. That's the only time I'm going to say that word so I don't get myself in trouble. Succession. Now, I'm not talking about your lead pastor. We hope she's not going anywhere for a long time. But rather, the succession that I mean is a succession of the generations. We are called to live generationally where we pass the torch from one generation to another. None of us are meant to be stagnant. Thankfully, the kingdom of God does not rest on one generation alone, but rather it goes from generation to generation to generation. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we have to be very intentional to ensure that the torch gets passed properly. And so in just a few months, we are going to celebrate the Olympics in Paris, 2024. And I find it interesting that every time there's an Olympic Games, they do this ceremony in Greece. And what they do is they've got, and they call them these priests and priestesses, and they grab the torch and they use these parabolic mirrors and they put the torch inside those little domes, and then fire comes from the sky. And that ceremony is meant to symbolize the god Apollos, the sun god who sends fire to the earth, and then they pass that fire to one of the athletes who begin to run, and then the torch is passed from athlete to athlete to athlete until it ignites the Olympic flame. We're going to see that in just a few months. As I saw that image and realized even the imagery of the sun god, it struck me that we serve the real God, the God who gives us Holy Spirit fire, a fire from above, the real fire of His Spirit, and it's the fire of God that needs to get passed from generation to generation. And that is our mission, that is our mandate, that the fire would not go out. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, that's what God said to His priests. Do not let the fire go out. Their job was not to create the fire in the altar. It was to tend to it. It was to make sure that the fire continually was lit, which requires strength and attention, and it requires effort and work to ensure that that fire never goes out. That's our responsibility here, friends. And so when we are talking about establishing the next generation, it's not just with resources and with buildings and with all of these different things, which we need. We need to have people who plow the way and build for the next generation, and that's what you're doing. But even deeper than that, we need to have a people who will put forth the fire of God in their own life and ensure that that fire does not go out, but that fire gets caught to the next generation coming up after us. So when we talk about how to establish the next generation, I believe what the Lord has put on my heart today is how to do that. How can we establish the next generation? I love that verse in 1 Kings 2, verse 12, which talks about how David, he prepared Solomon. He did everything that he could to ensure Solomon was ready. And then there came a day when Solomon now sat on David's throne, and the Bible says his kingdom was firmly established. Hallelujah. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 78. And I believe this passage will help us today to realize how to establish the next generation. Are you glad you came to church today? Isn't this a good day? Hallelujah. Tell you what, I'm glad to be alive today. As Pastor Marie was reading my bio, it always touches me and it moves me because I grew up in the church, a stuttering kid. A kid who stuttered all through grade school, even into high school. And when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I grew up in the church, but I was 15 years old on my very first missions trip in Poland, and I saw a move of God, and I was at the back of an arena where I just said, God, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm in. I give it to you right now. Never dreaming that I would do the things I get to do, but God, for His glory, picked a stuttering kid to be a mouthpiece to this generation. Hallelujah! For His glory. Because it's not about me, but what the Lord has put on my heart is that we would see a generation that now would see and hear again the works of the Lord. And that's what I've come to impart to you today out of Psalm 78. So listen to these. In fact, would you stand with me as we read it together to honor God's word? Reading out of the New Living Translation, it says, O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. Now watch this. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. For He issued His laws to Jacob. He gave His instructions to Israel, and He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them. Even the next generation, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Father, as we hear Your word today, we pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, I pray for a heart to receive today what You want to impart to Your people. I pray, Lord, that You would help me to get out of the way, that You would show us the way to what it is You're calling us to today. Holy Spirit, convict. Holy Spirit, call forth Your church to a new level of walking in the kingdom of God, we pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. I love how the scripture begins in Psalm 78, particularly in verse 4. Let's bring that verse up on the screen. It says, we will not hide these truths from our children, but we will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His wonder. It says, we will not hide these things. That means that as the church, as an older generation, we have to demonstrate and ensure that the deeds of the Lord and His mighty acts are visible. Right? They must be seen. They must be heard. I travel to many churches, and sometimes it bothers me because God is doing something, and the children and the youth are out of the service. And I understand all the reasons for that and the logistics of that, but there has to be moments when the next generation needs to see and hear what God is doing. Not just in the service and not just around the altar, but in the lives of people. We just came from our general conference a couple weeks ago, and one evening we went out and I just sat around with a group of leaders, and there were a bunch of them that I didn't know, and so we were just talking about, what's your testimony? What's your story? And one after another, people had incredible stories. Not everyone has the story that I was freed from drugs and alcohol and all that, but I'm telling you, everyone has a story. Everyone has a moment of divine encounter. If they're serving the Lord, you can guarantee that they met God somewhere along the journey. And one gentleman told me the story that he came from a single parent. His mother, you know, felt that they needed to bring their kids to church. She was trying to parent all by herself, and she didn't even really know the Lord that much, but she just started going to the church, and she asked the pastor, "Is there anyone who can bring us? We don't have a car." And there was one faithful family that said, "We'll bring you." And so for weeks and months, all that they did was they picked up this family, they loved them, and they brought them to church. And through that one act of obedience, this lady got saved, her children got saved, even the father got saved, and God has launched that family into now a legacy of ministry, all from a decision of one person saying, "I will do something for the Lord." Everyone has a testimony. Everyone has a story, and we need the next generation to see that. And the Bible actually commands us to ensure that these things are visible, to teach these truths. Well, what truths? The Bible says the glorious deeds of the Lord. Someone say hallelujah. His mighty power and His mighty wonders. I love what Psalm 145 says, verse 3 to 6. It says, "Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise." Hallelujah. "No one can measure His greatness. So let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor. Your wonderful miracles, your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue, and I will proclaim your greatness." You know, if we do not pass this on, we will have a generation that has not seen and has not heard the works of the Lord. And notice something. Anytime you have a wicked generation or a wicked time in history, it's because the people do not know their God. And if you don't know your God, you don't know who you are in Christ. And so when the Jewish nation, when they were exiled to Babylon, what's the first thing that the Babylonian king did? He gave them different names. He tried to erase their history, tried to erase their identity. And they had to make a choice that they would not go into that system even before they landed. And they chose Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were men of God that chose to honor the Lord even in that culture. And the only way that we can nurture and grow a generation to be like that is when we demonstrate and declare who our God is. We sang that song this morning. I never heard it before, but it fired me up. That's my King. It actually changed the order of service for me. I told them, I said, we got to change things around because that's a declaration. That's the kind of stuff that we need to impart to the next generation. Why would people come to church on a Sunday morning? Why would they give money? Why would they serve and give the best of themselves to some religious thing? I wouldn't do that, but I will give my life to the one who set me free. I will give my life to the one who is worthy when you know who He is. And so that's our call. You know, I read an article a few years ago, and it caught my attention, and it talked about the airline industry. This is before COVID. And it talked about how the airline industry was seeing a decline in the amount of pilots that were interested in the younger generation becoming pilots. And that was an industry that never had that problem. You know, people saw the nice suits and the hat and the matched luggage walking down the airport. Come on, I know you are like me. You see that luggage going, man, I want to get in on that. I bid for the luggage last night and someone outbid me, whoever you are. You know, we're going to have words afterwards. But I, like that pilot thing is a profession that a lot of children wanted to be like, and all of a sudden it just sort of stopped. And people couldn't figure out why. And so they did a deep dive and they start to study it. And you know what they found? They found that the trending of people not wanting to be pilots anymore happened after 9/11. Not because of the danger of flying, but rather because they started to close the door of the cockpit. And so if you were old enough to remember, you used to go on flights and you'd be sitting there and they would leave the cockpit door open and you would see all those dials and gadgets and you'd be like, man, I want to touch that stuff, right? Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm projecting. But you want to get in there and look. I mean, that cockpit's amazing. You want to fly. But when they closed the door, young people could no longer see that. And I believe that's exactly like the church. If we are not careful to declare and to demonstrate who our God is, the next generation are going to have no interest because they haven't seen, they haven't heard. Amen. So we have to tell them who God is and demonstrate this. But secondly, in Psalm 78, verse 5, it says we need to teach them God's ways. It says, for he issued his laws to Jacob, and he gave his instructions to Israel, and he commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. So again, notice this isn't a suggestion. This isn't something that we hope we get around to as the church, but rather this is supposed to be our identity, that we are commanded to pass the torch. We are commanded to instruct one another in the ways of God. And you see this in the Old Testament. Teach these things to your children. Teach these things to your children. Teach these things to your children so that it doesn't end with us. You know, have you heard in the Bible in Isaiah where it says, Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is why we need to learn the ways of the Lord. Because if we're not careful, we're going to go along the ways of our culture. But when we are instructed in the ways of God, now we get to live differently. And in the New Testament, Romans 12, verse 2, it captures the same essence. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know I don't look it, but I'm getting older. Your laughter is hurtful, but it's true. You know, I'm at the point now where I talk to my staff about certain television shows and music, and they just look at me like, what are you talking about? I'm there now. And my children have got one foot in our house and one foot out. And I know what some of you are saying, oh, they'll be back, don't worry. But they're on their way out. And it was just a couple of weeks ago that my son bought his first car and we loaded it up and now he's gone off to his internship and he may not be back. He got hired by a church and he's going into his last year of Bible college, and my wife and I were sitting there going, oh my goodness, this could be it. He could be going. He could be gone. And so you begin to realize, did we do enough? Did we impart enough? Did we pass on who we are and our values and sharing, you know, who God is, and did we instill that in them? You know, and there would be times when I would go to visit him at Bible college and whatnot. We'd be driving around in Peterborough. If you've ever been to Peterborough, there's a lot of street people in Peterborough, and we're walking around and whatever, and so people come up to you or they ask you for money and whatnot. And the last time I was in Peterborough with my son, we stopped and I realized I didn't have any cash, and I just kind of went like that, and before I could even blink, here's my son giving me $10 of his own money. And I said, oh, thank you. And then we went, and then my son went to this guy, and he looked him in the eye, and he honored him, and he said, here you go, sir, have a great day. We love you, but more importantly, God loves you. And he spoke that into that man. And I realized that some things have been passed on. That's what I mean about passing on the ways of God. And we have to teach the values that God gives to us and to our children. I'm not going to be able to walk with my son or to police him or to give him a long list of things that he has to check off. But in the same way, we need to impart these things to our kids and to show them to the next generation so that they live these things out. And here's the point. This is what we're leading to today, that we would show them who God is. We would teach them God's ways so that they will know the Lord and set their hope on Him. And that's Psalm 78, verse 6 to 7, and it says this, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. I love that. It doesn't even just stop with the next generation, but because God is a generational God, He's saying, impart it strong into this generation so that it'll go even to the next generation. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. We know when you read the Old Testament, you learn about Jacob. And Jacob was the one, his name means liar and deceiver. But yet God in His grace said, Esau I have hated, but Jacob, I like him. He chose Jacob. And through Jacob, Jacob would say things like, your God. He talked to his father Isaac and he said, your God. And then Jacob has his own encounter where he wrestles with God. And he comes out on the other side and Jacob starts saying, my God. Because the generation has an encounter for themselves. And when we teach, when we demonstrate, when we impart the ways of God, we give opportunity for the next generation to have their own encounter with God, so they begin to set their own hope on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is how we establish the next generation. And this is coming to the climax of what I want to say to you, Pickering Pentecostal Church. David was a man, it says in the book of Acts, who served his generation. He gave everything. And there came a point in his life when he wanted to do something for the Lord. He wanted to build the temple. And God prophetically came to David and said, David, I've heard you, I love you, and I'm going to bless you, but the temple is not going to come through you, it's going to come through your son who's going to do it. Notice what David didn't do. He didn't say, oh, well, I wanted to do it. I wanted to be the one to dedicate the temple of God. I wanted the temple of God to be in my name and my honor. I wanted to stand before there and say, look what I did. But David didn't even have a good, it's not just about the fact that he had a good attitude about it. He gave, and listen to me, this is it right here. He gave the rest of his life to prepare the next generation. He gave everything. Everything. When you look at what David gave in modern money, in modern currency, I mean, it would make Bill Gates blush. It would cause his heart rate to go up. David emptied everything out. He left it all on the line to get the next generation ready. And if you are here today and you've got breath in your lungs, you've got money in your bank account, you've still got some strength in your bones, do not park it. Do not wait. Do not say, I'm just going to coast into heaven. Give everything you have in preparing the next generation after you. Give it all. Go forward and give your best because He's worthy. He's a God of wonders. And one day we're going to stand before God and He's going to say, did you know Jesus? And what did you do with what I gave you? And I want to give everything that I have. Going forward, God bless retirement. We just bought a new home in the Trenton area, and I've got grass. I've got a riding lawnmower. I've got a mesh, trucker hat. I wear plaid shirts. It's wonderful. I love it. But you know what amps me up more than trucking along cutting my grass? Mornings like today. Mornings where I get to look at people, I get to declare the word of God and call people forth to the destiny that's in your life. That you would give it all to the glory of God. That the next generation would be established. What are we talking about today? We're talking about discipleship. And if you notice, this is exactly how Jesus did it. When Jesus came to the earth, it wasn't about him. He came on purpose, for a purpose, to fulfill the mission of God. He knew his mission. He dedicated the time that he had on mission. He said yes to things, he said no to things, in order to fulfill what God called him to do. He demonstrated the works of God. The Bible says in Colossians, he is the image of the invisible God. He showed us who God is. And then he raised up the next generation, those that who would follow him. He had them come along. He demonstrated. Then he got them to do it. Then he sent them out on their own, and he got them ready so that when he ascended to the Father, the torch got passed. And it's still going. Jesus is our model. Let me give you a warning, and then we're going to close. Judges chapter 2. And in fact, when you read on in Psalm 78, the rest of this psalm is kind of a warning to Israel, because they're telling the deeds of what God did, but also how Israel rebelled and how God had to work with them. And it's saying, learn from the past. Pass it on well. And we see that in Judges chapter 2. And this keeps me up at night. Judges 2 verse 6 says, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. So this is after they saw God do amazing things. This is after they were brought out of slavery, and now it was time for Joshua to go and possess the land. They had wandered for 40 years, and through the leadership of Joshua, they began to do great stuff. They saw Jericho fall. They saw giants come down. They saw God do great works. But watch this. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen, there it is, all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance. Now, verse 10, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. That's a nice way of saying after they died. Watch this. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. One generation after seeing Jericho fall, after seeing God cause kings to be conquered, cities to be established, miracles, crossing over, seeing the waters part, one generation later, they didn't know. They didn't know what God did, and they didn't know who God was. Then, verse 11, it gets worse. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. Do you see how big our mandate is? Do you see how important this is? Do you see how this isn't just about pastors and evangelists and prophets and teachers and apostles, but how this is for moms and dads and aunts and uncles that we would model, that we would raise up, that we would train, that we would impart to another generation? Would you stand to your feet?
Friends, one of the reasons, and I think you know this by now, but I'm going to say it prophetically to you if you don't know it. I figured it out. One of the reasons why God has brought Pastor Marie to you for such a time as this is because she has the nations in her heart. And I learned last night that she had a lot of interface with this congregation even before she became your pastor. That God in His providence, God in His design would have her come and impart things year after year after year at different times of the year. And then all of a sudden, God brought her in to be your pastor. You know why that is? Because this church has a call on it, not just to be a community church, but to be a church that literally transforms nations. It's true. And I don't say that to be grandiose and to be big speaker mentality and to say something. No, I believe it, which is why you are raising up the next generation, that they would be achievers, that they would do something with their life, that they would be kingdom-minded for God. You know that how that happens? By passing on the torch. So this is our prayer, and I end with this. Psalm 71, verse 18. And I want you to take this prayer away with you, and I want you to tuck it away in your Bible, tuck it away in your spirit, because Habakkuk 3:2 is kind of one of my prayers. I had it on the wall in my office. And this is another one, Psalm 71:18. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, until I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts for all to come. Can I get a witness today that that is your prayer? Amen. So let me bless you. And then what we need to do today in response is we need to declare, that's my King. And we need to begin to proclaim His wonders to the next generation. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for each one today. I thank you for this great church that is not resting on what it's done, but that's going forward with kingdom activity. And Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to being a people that will not settle with what you've done in our lives, but will give everything we have, our time, our talent, our treasure, to the kingdom of God, establishing the next generation. So Father, as we sing and declare, that's my King, I pray that our lives would always be encumbered by how big you are and how great you are and how worthy you are of everything, that we would give you our best, we would give you the first and the privilege of knowing you and serving you. I bless this church in the name of the Lord. Let them see double and increase in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.